So just tuck these away in your purse or your back pocket if you don't have a purse. Okay, how you doing? So let's get those papers handed out quickly so we can get right into the nurturing heart of God. So we are going to go, obviously, past noon. Are you guys okay with that? Probably, if you give me a little bit of grace, we'll probably go till 12:30 because we want to give you lots of ministry time on this one, too. So how you feeling? I know it feels a bit raw, but does it feel a bit clean, too? Like some old stuff's coming up? That's good. That's good. And you remember that you can lean on my ministry team anytime there. Okay, so we're going to start right away about what you get from your mothers. Okay, so we're going to talk about the nurturing heart of God, and that often comes through our mothers. So there's a lot of different loves that we get, but the mother love is a very specific love, and that's why this is so important. The mother love is what we call storge love. Can you say that? Storge love. Okay, the first experience with storge love, which is family love, is what you get in the womb when your mother is carrying you. All the excitement and joy that the mother and father feels about that little life is coming at you through the womb. Now, we all know they've done all sorts of experiments. Like in my day when I was having my kids in the 70s and 80s and 90s, boy, I had kids a lot. We have five kids, you know. So they were just terribly spread out. But, you know, they were starting to do things where people were putting headphones on their stomachs and playing different languages to them, and there was supposedly was helping them to learn languages faster. People were playing music to babies in the womb. Why? Why? Because babies are picking up stuff in the womb, right? And so we know that when a mother is carrying you, what's going on in the womb is very, very important, and then what happens when you're born from a mother is very important too. So if your mothers were not ready for a child, if they felt that they were too young, if they didn't have enough money or there was no husband, or maybe they wanted a boy instead of a girl or a girl instead of a boy. You know, there's been lots of research done, especially there's a great book called The Secret Life of an Unborn Child that they did some studies on that says that unborn babies can actually hear, taste, feel, and learn while they're in the womb. So Luke 1:44, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt with joy. You know, you hear that in a whole different way when you realize babies are hearing in the womb. So when that greeting happened between Elizabeth and Mary, see, John in the womb went, woohoo! Boy, that's my cousin's coming! That's awesome! So John the Baptist leapt for joy because his spirit knew that and was aware of Jesus' presence. So one of the things we're going to talk a little bit is about that there's sometimes prenatal wounding that can happen. Do you know what prenatal wounding is? Okay, so it just means stuff that happens to you in the womb that really it maybe is intentional, maybe is unintentional, but whether something is intentional or not, or unintentional, doesn't lessen the pain. And I'll give you an example of that. Like, again, we're not being dishonoring to our mothers by admitting that there's pain that may have been caused in our lives by our moms, okay? Whether it was intentional or unintentional, pain is still pain. And so you have to deal with the pain. Okay, and what I should have told all you fathers, I'm about to tell all you mothers now too, that when you listen to this stuff, don't let the enemy suddenly turn you onto a guilt trip. Like, the worst thing you can do is start going, oh my gosh, look what I've done to my kids. I mean, that's what happened to me the first two times I went through the father types and the nurturing heart of God, as I started feeling like the world's worst mother for all the things that happened when the kids were younger, when they were in the womb. That's not the point of this, and that's the enemy, okay? The point is, today is a new day. This is the day that the Lord has made. What you're hearing today is so that you can start changing from today onwards, right? So no guilt trips. Can we all agree? No guilt trips? Okay, guilt-free session for all you women. And I specifically have to tell you women, because if anybody's going to go and put a guilt trip on themselves, it'll be the girls in this room. Oh my gosh, I should have done this. Just relax. Just relax. What God is so happy about is you're here today. With the, you men too, you're here today. What you start doing today can change the whole course of your family. Okay, so let's talk about some things that can happen in the womb and the ways that they can affect you. Common womb experiences. And if you have the fruit in your life, then you need to consider that maybe some of these things have happened. And by that, this is what I'm talking about. You might not know if this was happening to your mother at the time. But what I'm looking for is, but if you have the fruit of what I'll call out to you, then you go, okay, so maybe that was happening because I see this in my life. So you okay with that? Okay, so situation one is when a child is conceived out of wedlock. And that's usually not a planned child. Or the baby's coming at a really bad time, you know, and you feel like, you know, we just don't need another kid at this point. Or, oh my gosh, I was actually just getting ready to break up. Or the marriage is rocky. Or you say, this baby's going to ruin my life and my career. I was just about to start school. Now what am I going to do? Or you feel like, what are my parents going to feel when I tell them? Or what will people say? So when you have that situation happening in the womb, what can happen is the child in your womb can start struggling with performance orientation and strong anger. And why that is they feel like, it's not my fault. It's not my fault that I'm here. A child can also end up being really accident prone or having many illnesses. They can carry your guilt or shame with them. And they can find it hard to receive affection or struggle with intimacy. Or the flip side is they can have an insatiable urge for affection, which means that's the kid that's just climbing on you all the time and they're in their face and you want to go like, please give me 5 minutes, you know. That's what happens. The result is that a baby, when I say that a baby could be accident prone or have illnesses, that's because when a mother is feeling like, I don't want this, this is coming at a really bad time, a baby can be born resisting life. It can be actually not embracing life. Some babies can actually be born with a death wish. So they're constantly getting sick and there's no reason for it. Because somewhere in the womb, they started believing, I shouldn't be here. I don't want to be here. This is not safe for me. Situation two, when a child's born at the wrong time or when the family is going difficulties such as economic depression. That happened a lot when they had the Great Depression. And women were getting pregnant, but it was almost always not at a good time. And so there was a lot of people, a lot of adults that later on in life struggled with their self-worth and with depression. When a child's born at the wrong time or when the family's undergoing difficulties, a child or adult can be fearful all the time that there's not enough money or there's not enough love. If it was an unwanted pregnancy, a child can feel like, oh no, my mom said I can't be pregnant again. When the father is absent due to things like separation or traveling or war, a child born under those circumstances can start to struggle with rejection, performance again. They have to earn love or they feel like a burden. A child can find it difficult to bond with their father. They can struggle with insecurities and fear, and they can grow up with the fear of being a single mom themselves. So there's always that fear there. Situation three, if you're born after a miscarriage or your parents have recently lost a child, what can happen is the child born after that can have excessive anger and feel like they're a replacement child. There can be feelings of deep sadness and grief because there was death in the womb. They can have a struggle to bond with the mother. They can be striving and feeling like they have to prove their right to live. So for instance, one of our kids was born right after I lost twins at about 26 weeks. They both died in the womb. And so, you know, I had to go in and do all the procedure and stuff like that. And shortly after, I got pregnant with our fourth daughter. And because of that, because I was so afraid, there was no indication that these twins had died. One had died at about 12 or 16 weeks, and one had died at 18 weeks. But I just kept growing, and they didn't discover it till about 24 weeks or 26 weeks that they were both dead. And so when I got pregnant with my fourth child, without meaning to, I really emotionally distanced myself from the pregnancy because I kept thinking, what if this baby dies too? What if this baby dies? I didn't feel the other two die. You know, what am I going to do if this one dies too? And so I would put these little kind of yardsticks on myself. Okay, when I pass 3 months, then I'll let myself be excited about the pregnancy. And then 3 months came, and I thought, well, you know, the other one died at 12 weeks, so okay, and the other one died at whatever, 18 weeks or 20 weeks. Well, then I'm going to wait till I'm 6 months before I'm excited about the pregnancy. So again, I would just pull back my emotions and try not to get too emotionally invested, because I was convinced if this baby dies, I can't lose another baby. And so I would do that again. And so at 6 months, I went, well, you know what? The baby could die before she's born, before it's born. It could get a cord around its neck. It could die on the delivery table. So I'm not going to get excited until they put that baby in my arms and I hear that baby crying. So I was doing these games unconsciously, like subconsciously. You know, I do remember thinking it at different times, but not really aware that it was affecting anything. I was protecting myself. So we had this daughter that was born, and she's absolutely amazing. We love her to bits. But, you know, she really was much more a daddy's girl than she was a mommy's girl. And to this day, she's still a daddy's girl. And but what happened is we found out she had this, like, really wild temper. Like, and she was the cutest, shyest little girl, just the quietest little thing. But, boy, if you tick her off, it was like a volcano going off. And we couldn't figure out, where is this coming from? And then I went through this teaching, and I went, oh, my gosh. She's, you know, unconsciously, subconsciously, she's angry because, and I don't blame her, that, you know, Mom, you kept pulling away from me for 9 months. You should have been celebrating me. And for 9 months as a baby, I could feel that you were just keeping your distance, and she's angry. So I didn't go to her and say, oh, honey, I'm so sorry I did this. Because you don't go to your kids and say, yeah, I just want you to know, and I want to caution you about this. I've had parents go to their children and say, I just want you to know, I never wanted you, and I'm so sorry I had that attitude. Don't put that on your children. You know, we know a guy right now whose parents tell him all the time, oops, there's our mistake. He's almost 30, and they're still saying that to him. Oops, there's our mistake. You know, or people who want to say, you know, when you want to be vulnerable and you say, yeah, well, here's all my kids, and this one was born out of wedlock. That's not how you identify your children. You know, so don't put that stuff on them. So with this child, I didn't go to her and say, I'm so sorry I pulled my heart away from you because your twin sisters died and blah, blah, blah. Instead, I just did things with God. I said, God, I am so sorry. That child deserved to be celebrated. She deserved to be there. She deserved to have joy around her and not fear. And she's a very fearful girl. So it's interesting. All that stuff has affected her. So I just spent time with the Lord, and I repented as a mom for allowing fear to drive my pregnancy and fear to tell me how I could respond to her. And you know what? As I did that, it didn't happen right away, but I began to bless her, began to speak all the blessings over her that I didn't speak over her the way I probably should have in the womb, because I was so scared. I just thought, if they hand me or they give me another dead baby, I'm just not going to be able to handle it. And so I should have still been able to say, whether this one lives or dies, I want this one to know that they were celebrated. I want this one to know that I'm so joyful that you're here, that your conception is a great thing, that, you know, whether you get to stay here with us or whether, you know, that's not your, you know, you're going to be in heaven with your sisters, you know, I'm going to bless you. So I started doing that after I repented, you know, and it's slowly changing. It slowly began to change how fearful she was. And she was a kid that used to break out with eczema really, really badly. And eczema can be stress-related, right, along with diet-related. And it was interesting. When I started doing that, I noticed she almost doesn't have any more eczema outbreaks. So I'm saying, as you hear stuff about the womb, remember, you don't have to run to your kids and tell them, you know, this is what I did that was so bad. You just deal with it between you and God, repent for it, and give them the blessing now that they should have had then. And you can get that blessing now from the Father that you should have had. So situation 4, if a mother is in poor health, especially during pregnancy, a child in the womb may feel the mother's fear. They may feel guilt for putting the mother in danger. They may feel rejection. It would be better if I wasn't here. Situation 5, when a child is not desired or is not the expected sex, they can have a death wish. I don't want to be born. They can have a feeling of failure. I can never please. They can have rebellion. Why should I even try? There can be confusion, especially in terms of gender and their sex. There can be shame in regard to their own sex. Am I a mistake? There can be a secrecy or a detachment, an excessive privacy. When I come out of the womb, are you going to reject me? Situation number 6, when a child is given up for adoption sometimes, and for those of you that have given up children for adoption, when we go through this, do not let the enemy beat you up. If you've given up a child for adoption, it's more than likely you did it because out of the greatest sacrifice a mother can do, I know I can't raise you. And so I'm going to give you a chance at being raised with parents. So you remember that when we go through this adoption thing. If you're adopted, then you need to also remember that your mother's sacrifice to give you up for adoption wasn't because she was selfish. It was the most selfless thing most mothers will ever do in their lives. But regardless of that, when you're given up for adoption, you can feel rejection in the womb. You can have performance orientation, feeling like you have to earn love. You can have an overwhelming fear of rejection, an inability to receive love. It never seems like enough. You can have an identity crisis. Who am I? And you can also have a sense of being lied from and stolen from. And so the storge love that you were supposed to be getting in the womb because of one of those situations, because your mother wasn't aware of how much you could feel, think, hear, and taste in the womb, that storge love that you should have been getting, that celebration love that you should have been getting, was interrupted somehow. The good news is God can give you that storge love. It says the Holy Spirit is our comforter, our nurturer, right? I mean, God describes himself sometimes as that, you know, come under my wing, you know, come on, like little chicks, come under my wing. You know, when you read the verses in the Bible where he's describing himself in a feminine form, remember, he's not saying that he has to be feminine. He's saying that side of me, that nurturing side of me, wants to nurture what you did not receive here on earth. 3 ways you get storge love, and this is after you're born, is affectionate touch. We're all meant to have hugs and cuddles and play. We were created for expressed affection. People need to hear they're loved. You know, there's nothing worse than, well, you know, when somebody passes away and I hear somebody say, you know, they never told me they loved me. When my dad passed away, I remember my brother standing at the viewing, at the casket, and my brother put my dad's favorite chocolate bar in his pocket and a picture of him and his son. And he put it in his pocket, and then I remember him leaning over and saying to my dad, Dad, I never heard you say you loved me. And I don't know if I told you, but today I'm telling you, Dad, I love you. And I remember my dad, my brother feeling so broken that it was my dad was gone, and finally they were saying those words to each other. And so we need that storge love. And with my mother, it was different. My mother was the one in our family where she was always grabbing us and dancing with us. I mean, of course, she's the mother that was always trying to make excuses for my dad's behavior, you know. And but my mom was the one that she was always touching us. There was always strokes on the arm and hands on your back. And she would sit beside you. She'd make me put my feet on her lap if we were sitting on the couch. And she'd just rub my feet for me. And to this day, I try to get Alf to do it, but he's not quite so loving. But we're working on that. I think mothers like soft kids' feet. Husbands don't like calluses. I don't know why. I think that would be a sacrificial way to show love. But just saying, if anybody wants to pray for him afterwards, feel free. I'll let you do that. So mothers, babies need affectionate touch. Alf went to Romania when the wall first came down in Europe. And they traveled not to the big cities, but to some small places, outward places. And they stopped in a number of orphanages. And I remember there was a number of men on this team, probably about 8-9 men that went with him. And we had prearranged for the men to call home and talk to the wives after a couple of the orphanage villages. Well, I had never heard our men sound emotional. And every wife said that their husband was just about in tears and their voice was so thick. And I remember Alf's voice sounding like that. And what they were describing to us was an entire room full of babies in their little cribs and no noise. They were all awake and no noise. And some of them were standing and some of them were sitting, holding on to the bars of their cribs and just rocking. But they never made any noise. And all these fathers were so hit by the fact that how can you have a room full of babies and nobody's crying? And part of it is because, see, those children not having mothers, because the way Romania was set up in the time, those children knew that their crying would not get them a response. See, our babies cry, partly, and keep crying, partly because they know if I cry, someone will come and comfort me. And more than likely, they're looking for their mom. If I cry, storge love will come to me. I will get cuddles and hugs. I will get loving eye contact. And babies will drink in loving eye contact with their mothers. And the tone of voice, that loving tone of voice. In a situation like that, there was no one to do that. Alf was telling me there was like one or two workers to look after 40 kids, 40 babies, 40 little toddlers and babies. And he said they were doing the best they could, but they didn't have time. They didn't have time to give storge love. Loving eye contact, tone of voice, and affectionate touches. We also receive storge love from our fathers and our siblings and our grandparents. And if that container is in place, we are going to grow up knowing that we're loved and we're accepted. But if we're rejected or our mothers are having issues, often what can happen is that storge love doesn't come to us. And the reason why we need storge love is the foundation for trust. Did you know that? So if you don't have storge love, then often your foundation for trust in your life gets broken. Your ability to trust other people can get damaged by that. It's the first place we learn to have intimacy. It's the first place we learn to have warmth and nurture as we draw life from our moms. And some people didn't receive that, and they can always feel like there's something a bit missing. So that basic trust enables you to hold your heart open to others and to yourself. It's an inner sense of being secure with the person you are. It's that sense of, I'm okay, I'm loved, I belong. Why do you think mothers can bend over a baby and just start going, shh, and that baby will slowly, slowly what? They start to lock eyes on mom. And then they start to, you can watch, they'll look at your mouth and they'll start to, you just hear that shh. It's different because when dads lean over, they're usually going, shh. Shh, don't wake your mom, you know. Mothers have a way of shh, just that tone of voice. It's okay, I'm loved, I belong. Basic trust is learned in the first few years of your life. In the first 6 years, your character is formed. What kind of person you are, what you like, how you see yourself, how you relate and respond to other people, what you think of the world. By the time you're 10 years old, it's set into concrete. Both the good and the bad habits. But here's the good news. God can change bad habits. Just because maybe you didn't get what you needed at the beginning, God can help you do that now. If you received healthy physical touch as a baby, you'll have an overall sense that life is a good thing. If you know security and love deep down, you can hold your heart open to others. And you can say, look, I can show you who I am. Maybe remember Alf talked about last night. You should be able to stand on the front step and kind of like, here I am. This is me. That happens with security. And God can bring that. That nurturing side of God can add that to your life. Without it, you're going to be fearful of letting anybody get close. With basic trust, you're going to feel secure and you have a basic sense that I'm okay, I'm loved, I belong. Without it, you can feel insecure, unwanted, and lost. With basic trust, that storge love, you have the capacity to bounce back after being hurt or disappointed. Without it, you can feel rejected and end up saying in your hearts all the time, I'm never doing that again. How many of you done one thing and it bombed and you went, okay, that's it, I'm never doing that again? Yeah. And see, it's because, I don't want this to sound the wrong way, but a healthy response would be, okay, I blew it that time. Let's figure out how to do it better the next time. See, that's what a healthy response does. If you've had a good foundation of storge love that makes you, and father's love that makes you feel confident, and storge love that makes you trust that you can try and make mistakes and not be rejected. Okay, without storge love, or with storge love, you're going to have the courage to venture out and risk and handle failure, which is what I just said. Without it, you tend to stick to things that you always know. Okay, I can do this. So you're always wanting to do the same thing. Or you say, oh no, you won't try new things. Like, oh no, I can't sing on the worship team. I can't do drama. I'll just stick to what I know. And I know how to sit. I know how to sit really good. I know how to worship in a crowd. That's awesome. Yeah, but if you were designed by God to sing, If you're designed by God to, some of you have some creative talents that because of the lack of storge love and some stuff that's happened with your fathers, you've kind of pushed your creativity aside. Either it was mocked or it wasn't good enough. You didn't color inside the lines the right way. But you know, when you have that, when you allow God to give you that storge love, you can start trying again. Because your heavenly Father goes, wham, that was good. You know, I like to picture that he nudges the angels once in a while and say, hey, see my girl? See that drawing? That's going on my fridge. That's going on my fridge. Okay, with storge love, you have the ability to shift gears and you can be flexible. You can easily adjust to changes. But without it, you can find change really unsettling. And you'd rather do what you've always done. I have a used to have a girlfriend that because of this, we tried to do a surprise party for her one time. I had no idea she can't take change and you can't spring surprises on her. Well, I, who like to do crazy and wild things, thought I had the best idea ever that we'd spring this surprise party on her, and she absolutely had an emotional meltdown. Like, I mean, literally, like she blew up, she yelled at everybody, she, you know, walked away and left us all with our mouths hanging open, and we thought, what just happened? And her husband came over and said to me, you can't spring stuff on her. And I thought, well, that's not a surprise party if you don't spring it on her, you know. But he said, no. See, in loving her, if I'd known that, I would have just told her we were having a party. So she could have shifted gears into being able to enjoy it. With storge love, you have a strength of spirit, the ability to know what you want and know your own mind. You know, for a long time, I wasn't sure if what I wanted to do was what I wanted to do or if I was doing it because somebody else wanted me to do it. I didn't know where I stopped and somebody else began. Because when I was born, it was at a really bad time in my mom's life. My dad was drinking a lot. She remembers telling me when she was about 7 months pregnant, my dad pulling her out of bed, punching her in the face, kicking her downstairs. You know, and so she was telling me this to explain some stuff to me, and I went, wow, that explains why I never really knew where I stopped and somebody else started. And I've always been running and running to try to feel safe. I never felt safe my whole life, and I never could figure out why. I mean, that's kind of weird. My dad, I understood why my dad made me feel unsafe, but I couldn't feel like, but there was something deeper. I knew there was something deeper, that even when there was peace, even when we had times when my dad wasn't drinking, I just could never feel safe. Never felt safe with Alf, you know, which would drive him nuts because he's the safest guy there is. He's the safest driver we know, but I'd be in a car and I'd be jerking and twitching and afraid that Alf was going to get us in a car accident. Just never felt safe. But I understood later when my mom told me about that it wasn't a good time for her to get pregnant. Plus, she was worried the whole time when she was carrying me. They'd already had three girls. My dad really wanted a boy. And so they spoke it over me all the time. And people were coming to her, oh, I hope Jim gets his boy. I hope they're going to be a boy. I hope they're going to be a boy. And out pops this little 5-pound girl. Oh. You know, and then on top of it, we were Catholic, and I got born on Orangeman's Day, which if you're a good Catholic, you know what that means. So that's a big Protestant holiday. So, you know, it's a big Protestant holiday in Ireland. And so all the Protestants in our town celebrated my birth and sent flowers to my dad because I was an Orangeman, you know. So there was a lot of things happening, which I understood later. Okay, that's where some of this came from. Without storge love, with storge love, you're able to enter into intimate relationships because you meet spirit to spirit. Without storge love, you fear intimacy. You're afraid of letting anyone get close. The interesting about storge love, too, is that if you don't get the right kind of storge love, you can get into all sorts of wrong sexual relationships. And because we're adults here, we're just going to say the words masturbation and pornography. Most people that have not had a good dose of storge love in the beginning from their mothers are often the ones that are struggling the most with pornography and with masturbation. It's because you are trying to get some type of comfort. You are trying to get some type of connection, and you're doing it the wrong way. If you don't have storge love, you can also develop all sorts of unhealthy urges and compulsions and drives. And that can range right up from sexual addictions to fantasy lives, bondages, all sorts of perversions. That doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means you were created for love. You were created for love and nurture. And if you didn't receive it, you are going to look for it in inappropriate ways. With the foundation of storge love, you'll be driven. Without a foundation of storge love, you're going to be driven to find that need. So guys, you know, if you're having any of those problems, or women, because now, did you know the statistics for women involved in pornography is almost as high as the men now? And that's because it's so readily available on the internet. And so people are finding a connection, and they think that it's not hurting anybody because it's on the internet. I have a newsflash for you. It's hurting you. It's hurting you, and it will hurt your spouse. Because I'm telling you, no one can live up to what they see in those pornography videos. Sorry. You know, nobody's that hot. Nobody's that excited. Nobody's going to make that much noise for you. It's just, it's all play acting, you know. But the thing is, if you're connecting with that to try to feel like, okay, I feel like I'm having some type of an encounter, even if it's just through a character, it's because you need to stop and say, God, I need some nurture. Because if I was nurtured, I wouldn't be going after this so much. Somewhere along the line, and, you know, don't phone your mothers and ask them, you know, so, Mom, so, you know, what'd you pass on to me here? Because I heard I'm hooked on pornography and it's your fault. You know, please don't do that. You know, your poor moms, probably if your moms are old as my mom, they won't even know what pornography is. And then if you have to explain it to them, you'll damage them. And so we just won't go there, okay? But what you do is you go to the Father. And you say, Father, where am I trying to get love in an unhealthy way? And where can you now heal that in me? So without that foundation of storge love, you're going to be driven to find needs filled in a different way. And it's not just sexual issues. People who have lacked storge love in their formative years, which means, you know, maybe your mother was alive for a certain amount of time, or maybe she left later on in early childhood or even in teen years, but especially it's more the womb and early childhood where this stuff is really established. So if you've lacked it in those formative years, you can begin to focus your mother and father issues on other people. So you start looking for other people to start meeting that need in you. That can be really disastrous for pastors. Because, for instance, if everybody in our church wants me to mother them, I'm hooped. I just barely had enough energy to raise 5 kids. You know, I don't know how I'm going to mother 100 people or 110 people. You know, and so I have to keep trying to tell people, okay, you need to get that from the Lord. That's really not rejecting somebody. I'm trying to give them the very best. And so here's the good news, because if you try to get that from me or Stan and Crystal or whoever your pastors are, the thing is, they have a finite amount of energy and love they can give you. The Father has an infinite amount of energy and love that he can give you. And so if you're going for fathering to a person or mothering to a person, which isn't to say don't press in and have relationship. We all need relationship. But I'm saying if there's that need in you from your childhood or from the womb, then you really have to go to the Father, because he's the only one that can keep up with the supply that you need. And so you have to be careful that you begin to focus all your unmet needs on someone else, your best friend, your boyfriend, your, you know, a husband or some other person. You can end up latching on to one person and sucking the life out of them to try to get your love deficit filled. And that's the source of emotional dependence. And you don't want to give that to anybody. You don't want to be emotionally... I love Alf. But you know what? I don't want to be emotionally dependent on Alf, because I know he looks perfect, but he has bad days. And on those bad days, he just doesn't have a lot of love to throw my way. He's just got enough love to keep himself going. And then he has to kind of truck in and find that place with the Father where he needs to get filled up. I cannot expect him to be my emotional filler. I have to get that from God, so that on the days when he can't, I'm still fine. When we were married young, I needed him to be everything to me. And so, and I couldn't figure out why he didn't like that. You know, I mean, come on, you guys, don't you just love it when your wife just wants to suck you dry and say, you know, like, come on, you need to be, it's what we're asking you is to be our girlfriends. And like, finally the Lord said to me, Alf can't be your girlfriend. It's like, really? Because, you know, I would rather be with him than my girlfriends, because I was starting to feel safe with him. And what the Lord was saying is, you're trying to get from him what you can only get from another woman. As women, we nurture each other in a different way. But then the other thing he said to me, but you're trying to get from the women what you can only get from me. Because they have bad days too. And so you need to get that storge love from God. The only source of our emotional filling up should be from the Lord. Because no one person can fill that void in you. Many singles think that when they get married, they're finally going to be fine. They think that their husband or wife is finally going to be the source of that need. But a husband and wife can only fill up so much, and then you each have your own bad days, and then what happens? It's a disaster. If you lack storge love, you're going to have this love deficit, and then you're going to keep trying to fill it with either somebody or something. And so some people are going to run to escapism, romance novels. Oh my gosh, before Alf and I learned this, Alf's laughing because, you know, I have one sister that reads romance novels like off the scale. And so she learned it. She started passing them on to me. And so Alf, I would have like black garbage bags full of Harlequin romance novels. And then I got into the other romance novels. So, you know, with the guy with the long hair that's always blowing in the wind, you know, and the leather skirt on and the big sword. And I would be like, so I would have like bags of those things. And Alf would say, what are you reading that stuff for? And I'd say, because it's romantic. And it wasn't until later that the Lord was saying, number one, it's kind of just soft porn, to be honest with you. And because all those romance scenes have way more detail than they need to. And the other thing is I realized I was trying to get something. It took me a long time to realize that at first I was judging that Alf wasn't filling that need. And then I realized it's not about Alf filling that need. It's about I need to fill that need. And I wasn't getting it. When Alf got free of having to be my emotional support and be my romantic whatever you call it, you know, it was funny. All of a sudden I felt fuller and freer because we were back on just really enjoying each other without these huge expectations. And so somebody who is trying to get that storge love, like I said, romance novels are one of them. Movies, studies, sports, they run to escapism. You just always want to be watching something and watching somebody else's life because your life isn't good enough. In a nutshell, a person who never bonded with a mother may struggle with addictions, compulsions, eating disorders because there's a big connection between food and comfort. You can struggle with feelings of separation, a lack of trust, a fear of bonding, fear of abandonment. See, my fear that Alf was going to leave me, that's a fear of abandonment. Constantly living in that excruciating fear that this person's going to leave you. You can feel that with your friends. Oh, they like me now, but when they really get to know me. And I used to say that too. Oh, people really like me for a little while, but once they get to know me, they always leave. Fear of abandonment. Feelings of emptiness. And that's the one that some of you, nobody else will know, but it's kind of like this. You can feel happiness or joy to about here, but you know that below that, you can tell and nobody else knows there's nothing deeper. You even know when to laugh on cue. You know when the appropriate smiles and happy responses are, and you can feel happiness to a degree, but you know what nobody else knows, and that means that joy never goes fully down in you. You can have fears and insecurities. I used to, on top of being afraid of being abandoned, would always say I thought I was the ugliest person on the face of the earth. So I would hide my face. I would wear big baggy clothes. I was, on one hand, craving attention, but afraid of being noticed. You can have anxieties and anguish, no sense of comfort, no fear of living. Having a death wish. I had my first suicide attempt when I was about, I don't know if it was 9 or 11. I took an overdose of pills. I just had decided I was just so done with this life. And I had actually written a letter to God and left it on my windowsill telling him my dad was having a particularly bad season. And I just thought, there's got to be a better way than this. So I wrote God a letter, put it on my windowsill, asked him to send the angels to pick it up. I don't know, I kind of thought there was like a mail drop in heaven or something. And so every day for about 2 weeks, I just watched that letter on my windowsill as the sun was beginning to turn it yellow and it got older. And at the end of 3 weeks, I realized, the enemy said a lie to me. And what the enemy said to me was, see, even God doesn't want you. And so you're left in this hell at 9 years or 11 years old, whatever it was, and it's up to you to handle life. And so knowing that, I decided, you know what? If God's not going to come and get me, then I'll go to him. And so I took a whole bunch. When your dad's a doctor, you have access to lots of pills. And so I took a whole bunch of pills and went to school and took all the pills and passed out in school. And they phoned my dad and they took me home. And because he was the town doctor, see, it's a real shame when you're a white collar, you know, alcoholic like that. Everybody works at keeping your stuff hidden. And so they wouldn't take me to the hospital because if I'd gone to the hospital, everybody would have to ask, why did the doctor's daughter just try to overdose at this age? And so the doctors came to my house. The other doctors that he worked with came to my house and helped pump my stomach and did all the stuff. And I remember them asking, so why did you do this? And so I knew enough to lie. I thought, see, I was already lying through the confessional. See, I knew I couldn't confess, even do the confessional in our church the right way, because the priest who's abusing me, I'm not going to tell him my real sins because he'll use that against me. And so I had been learning to lie at a young age. And so with my dad's friends, when they said, why did you take those pills? I just said, oh, I didn't want to go to school that day. Because, see, I knew if I told them, I just don't want to live. I'm like 9 years old, and I'm so done with living. You know, I lived, but I was now labeled, oh, there's that crazy kid. Tried again a number of times through 13 to 15, just kind of really feeble attempts, but again, always with taking overdoses and getting someone to rescue me. Because I had a death wish, and I didn't understand where it was coming from. I did know my mom loved me, and she was very affectionate, but I didn't realize the stuff in the womb was having a great effect on me. You know, my dad punching her, the kicking her, the, you know, not caring if she would have gone into labor or aborting me. You know, without realizing it, that gave me a death wish. So there was also a fear of the future. I was terrified of what was ahead of me. Addictions, eating disorders. I didn't have any eating disorders, but I was heading well into addictions. Sexual bondages and unhealthy sexual drives. Those are all the things that can happen if you don't have storge love. It's amazing the power that happens from having a mother's love in our heart. And so we're going to do some ministry right now for those of you that have never had a place of safety with your mom, because your moms play as big a part as your dads do in you being able to receive the love of God. So can you just put that music on? And we're going to do a lot of you repeating and praying. And again, for some reason, the mother issue is sometimes even harder for people to connect with their pain. But I'm telling you, as a mom that did it wrong with one of my kids, your mother, if she had known how her pain was going to hurt you, she would have been healed. She would have changed what she did. If you've never had that place of safety in your mom's heart, we're going to pray for that today. So just close your eyes, and Lord, we ask that you'd begin to pour your nurture in right now. Father, come and impact and impart your comfort to each heart here. Come to this little boy right now. Come to this little girl that's never known a safe place. Father, would you come to those that have shut down emotionally? And Father, we want to open our hearts to you right now. We ask that you'd give us the sovereign gift of trust. Father, would they know right now and begin to feel just the safety of your presence? Just let that come. That the mothering and nurturing love of your Father God would come to you right now. Would you begin to pour over them like a river and speak your words of love to them? Father, we want to repent too for saying things like, I'm going to show you. I don't need you. I can do it by myself. Father, we repent for becoming hard and aggressive. We were all made in your likeness. There's nothing we have to prove. Father, if this is you, I want you to say, Father, I repent for shutting down my emotions. Just say, Father, where I felt abandoned, I want to feel connected again. And Father, we pray over this group right now that you have created them to bond. But if they have bonded with wrong things, I just want you right now to repent to him. Anything you've bonded to for comfort, give it to him. Whether it's the movies, the books, pornography, food, shopping, whatever it is. And if you know that you haven't received that nurturing love, or you see the fruit of what I've been describing in your life, just for right now, I just want you to keep your heart open for God to come, for the Holy Spirit to come. And we're going to forgive our moms right now, just as the Holy Spirit leads. And this is going to be the child in you speaking, not the adult. We're not dishonoring our mothers. We're just coming to the Lord for our hearts to be healed. So pray after me. Lord, I recognize there has been a lack in my life. And I can see that I have a love deficit. So here's where it could hit some chords now. Mom, I wish you would have held me more. I wish you would have had more time for me, Mom. I needed your love and tenderness. I needed your affection, Mom. I needed to know that you'd be a safe place for me. Because there were times when I needed your comfort. And you weren't there. So, Mom, I choose to forgive you today for all those times that you didn't know what you were doing. You were too hurt and wounded. I forgive you for the lack of nurture. I forgive you for not pouring into me all the storge love I needed. I forgive you for not knowing how to express love to me in the way I needed to hear it. I forgive you for not knowing how to take me in your arms and provide a place of safety and comfort. I forgive your inability to open your heart to me in a way that would have caused me to believe and trust in your love. I forgive you for your inability to provide me with affectionate touch, loving eye contact, tender loving words, and the nurture that I needed. Now we're going to get specific. Mom and Dad, I forgive you for conceiving me out of wedlock. I forgive you where you felt I was coming at a bad time. I forgive you that you felt I was born during a time of economic depression. I forgive you that you didn't want to have another child. I forgive you that you wanted a different baby sex than what I was. I forgive you for giving me up for adoption. And Mom, I forgive you for all the sadness and the feeling of death in your womb after the miscarriage or the stillborn before me. Mom, I forgive you that you were more concerned about your career than you were about me. And I'll say this, I release you from all resentment, Mom, and all bitterness, and I speak the blessing of God over you. I honor you as my mother, the woman who gave me life and brought me into this world. Thank you for all you did. And I understand that you couldn't give me what you didn't have. Mom, I forgive you today. And I bring you to the feet of Jesus, and I release you. So So just take a deep breath. And some of you have needed to say those words to your mom for a long time. Just picture her laying there at the feet of Jesus. You've been carrying this way too long. Why don't you say, Mom and Dad, I forgive you for rejecting me. I forgive you both for abandoning me, for not providing a place in your heart for me. Mom, I forgive you for not accepting me. I forgive you for not showing me my value and worth. I forgive you for not receiving me as a gift from God. And I release any resentment and bitterness towards you. And I speak a blessing over you. Now, we're going to ask the Lord to just forgive you. Lord, forgive me for turning to false comforts. Lord, forgive me for saying I'll take care of myself. Forgive me for hardening my heart. Forgive me for all the things that I've put in that place instead of you. And today I renounce false comfort. So now this is between you and God. You know the things that you've been doing to comfort yourself. You begin to tell him. Nobody else needs to hear, but just begin to renounce them. Tell him that you repent and you renounce them. Say, Lord, I renounce anything contrary to love. I renounce rejection and abandonment. I renounce self-hatred. I renounce self-rejection. Come on, tell those things to go. Say, Lord, I'm done with them. I don't need them anymore. Because you're going to give me my value and my worth. It's always been in me, but I receive it now. Say, Lord, I repent for the ways I've judged my mom and hardened my heart towards her. God, forgive me for rebelling against life, for not embracing life. Forgive me for not liking myself. Forgive me for rebelling against being my mother's child. I choose life today. I choose to be born today. And I renounce the lie I have no value. I renounce the lie I'm not lovable. Come on, say it like you mean it. I renounce the lie that no one loves me. I renounce all thoughts and urges of death. And I declare the truth. I am my father's daughter. I am my father's son. I am valued and loved by my Creator. I have worth and value. And Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I thank you for the blood that forgives me, cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Today I want to be free of sin. I want to be free of every bondage in my life. And I renounce the lie that I have to do it in my own strength. I don't want to believe lies anymore, God. Okay, so just take a deep breath, and I'm just going to pray over you now. So, Father, we just ask right now that you would begin to take all these little ones into your arms. Give them the affectionate love that their mother wasn't able to. Father, receive them and restore your love to them. Pour your mother's love in, that nurturing part of you, God, that they have been waiting for so long. Just let that come. And I'm going to pray over you as your mom. if she was able to be healed enough to say these words to you. Will you forgive me, my child? Will you forgive me for my inability to open my heart to you? I want to tell you, you are not the problem. It wasn't you. It was my inability to connect to you. It was the strongholds in my life and my heart. It was my own broken heart that wouldn't let me call you into my heart and to give you my love. Will you forgive me? So I want you to respond, Mom, I forgive you and I release you. Will you forgive me that there was times when I risked opening your heart, my heart to you? I ask you to forgive me for the lack of holding you, for the inability to provide a safe and secure place for you. Will you forgive me? Mom, I forgive you and I release you. Will you forgive me for the inability to speak the words of love and affirmation over you that you needed? Will you forgive me for being jealous of your relationship with your father? Will you forgive me? Mom, I forgive you and I release you. Will you forgive me for not protecting you from your brothers and sisters? Will you forgive me for not protecting you from your dad? Will you forgive me for not protecting you from those at school that were teasing you and tormenting you? Will you forgive me today? Mom, I forgive you and I release you. Will you forgive me for not being home even when I was home? Will you forgive me for not bonding with you, for not connecting with you? I was so caught up in my own life and my own pain that I wasn't there for you, making you the most important thing in my life. Can you forgive me? Mom, I forgive you and I release you. So I just see the Father is running to some of you right now, just like he did to the father, to the prodigal. He's the father to the fatherless. He is bringing that storge love to you. Just see him right now. Just close your eyes. You'll be able to feel him coming to you right now. Can I have my team up here? We're going to release them to minister to you in a minute. We're going to just read this over you. My precious daughter. No, you are the apple of my eye. The one I knew before you were even knit in your mother's womb. Your name is engraved on the palm of my hand, and there is nothing and no one that can pluck you away from me. My daughter, you are loved with a love that will never end. You can rely on that love, for I am love, and I've made it possible for you to actually be rooted and grounded in that love. I have a purpose and a destiny that only you can fulfill. And I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there any brokenness too hard for me to heal? You are mine and I joy over you with singing. I am jealous for your love. Be still and know this. Just receive that. Now we're just going to ask for those of you that need it. We're going to have the team up here. And I just want, if you need a hug, if you need to just hear that blessing from God, that storge love, that they would be God's hands and they would be God's arms around you. That their words would be the Father's words to you. That he would be filling that deficit in you that your mom wasn't able to. But we speak over them right now, Father, the truth, which is they are loved by you, always and ever loved by you. And Father, as they have released forgiveness and all resentment and bitterness, that you would just begin to wash over them, just a new ability to open their hearts to you and to others. That, Father, you would teach them safe boundaries, that they wouldn't be taken advantage of anymore by unsafe people. That they wouldn't have to be their own defenders anymore, but that you would come in not only as Father God to defend and protect them, but as that nurturing heart of yours to fill them with that sense of worth and trust so that life feels safe again, that life has colors again for them, that life has joy again. We just loose that. We just release that over them. So we want to once again just release you guys. We went a bit longer than we were expecting, but it's important to open you up and then set healing into you. We release you guys to go to come back tonight at 7. But if you need prayer, if you've seen there's a lack in your life, then we want to ask that you would just come up, come forward, and again, just get that prayer. If you need help forgiving your mom, if you just need a blessing over your life, if you need that storge love to come in, then the team is up here to help you. God bless you guys. There's soup and buns out there, so I guess help yourself. And we'll just keep the doors closed so that those that are getting ministry here. And if you just don't want anyone to pray with you, but you just need to soak for a little while, just feel free. Just sit here and let the music minister to you. But God bless you guys. Don't go without prayer, though. It's really important.